Father, we come rejoicing that you have come to us in Christ. You have been God with us, and now in the Spirit you are God with us. And someday again, we will be in the very physical manifest presence of your being. We rejoice that you have made that possible through the Savior. Open our hearts up and what it means to live in the light of that truth now, that we might present to you that which you are worthy of. You are a glorious Savior. We love you and we need you. And I ask that you would just teach through me by your Spirit today that your people might be fed, might be led, and might thrive. And fill us with your joy. Amen. You may be seated. Exchanging gifts is a fun part of many cultures and traditions, and especially the American culture. You know, but the idea of exchanging gifts, not all gift exchanges are the same. You know, some of them communicate more value than others. Family gift exchanges oftentimes can be very special, where one member of the family will try to find just that right gift for the other member of the family and bring that together, and they share value and honor. It's one of the things that my wife taught me early on in our marriage. I had no concept of the idea of communicating value and honor through a gift. Gifts were things you bought because somebody needed something, and at this time of year, you bought the need that they had. That was the only way I understood it. And yet, there's a tremendous message that can come to gifts. And some of you, maybe this past week, or maybe this coming week, may have a gift exchange at the office. And sometimes companies will have a little, okay, here's what the set amount is. Go buy an anonymous gift for somebody and we'll exchange gifts. You know, that's nice. Sometimes not a whole lot of value comes across that. And then there's those white elephant gift exchanges. Those are unique experiences. I don't know what somebody had it wrong at the last one I went to. I got a gray elephant at my last white elephant gift exchange. Very nice, not particularly valuable, but you know, gifts give messages, don't they? God has given us the greatest gift that could ever be given. God gave us Himself. God gave us His Son. And yet, in that giving, there is an invitation to join in an exchange with God, a gift-giving exchange. And so I want to take you to a passage today that is not normally utilized at this time of year. If you turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. I want you to hear the heart of God in the gift that He has given. But as you turn there, let me refer to some passages that you are used to hearing at this time of year. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. And with that announcement, God says, I have gifted you. You ever thought about that first announcement? What it would have been like to have been a shepherd out in the field. An angel just appears. And you sit there scratching your head, wondering what is going on. Or how about if you were the angel? And you appear, you realize what you're doing. This is something you have waited for eternity to announce. And so the light shines. There's a couple of shepherds. You got to be wondering who was in charge of PR. Why are we on the backside of a town called Bethlehem announcing to these guys, or perhaps these gals? And yet God said, I've gifted you. And it's such a glorious thing to think about, that God gifted us in a way that invites anyone and everyone into his presence, because his child was placed in a feed trough so that no one would be denied access. And God gave us his heart when he gave us his son. Isn't that so? Isn't your heart tied up in your kids? I liked something I read sometime. It said, mothers, when they have children, they carry their baby within them, and then when they get out, their heart leaves them and runs around on two legs. I thought that was an interesting description. You give your heart away. And God gave his heart away to us. And so what he gave says something to us, because a gift reveals the intention of the giver to bless the recipient. In Romans chapter 12, we have these words. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. But he says here, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God. Jesus is the manifestation of mercy to us, is he not? Amen. You see, if Jesus hadn't came the way he did, he would have been the manifestation of judgment to us. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so, apart from him coming to be Savior, he would have came to be judged, because we have fallen short of his intention. And yet God sent a Savior to make up, to care for our lack, to provide for our need. And so he gave us mercy. Isn't that right? Oh, we deserve judgment. You know, sometimes I find people thinking that they haven't been so bad. I don't know how we can deceive ourselves so well, except perhaps to compare ourselves to others who've been worse. You know, and that tends to be what we do sometimes. It's like, well, I'm not as bad as that one or as that one. But friends, if you are not as good as God is good, then you are short of the glory of God. And if you have rejected any one of His commands, the Bible says if you've broken one, you have become a lawbreaker and you are separated from God. Except by the mercy of His Son, we can come into His presence. And so He says here in Romans, after spending the last 11 chapters talking about the mercy of God, He says, I urge you therefore, because you know how much mercy you have received, give God a present. Because you've received, give God a present. He says, present to God. God presented mercy to us. And so we are called to present to Him. So the gift reveals the intention of the giver. And so by giving us Jesus, He says, I want to bless you. All right? God intends to bless you. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I had heard preachers preach growing up, I wasn't so sure that was God's intention. Did any of you grow up with some of that kind of preaching? That sometimes you meet the preacher and the preacher is angry, you know, and the preacher's letting you know the wrath of God against sin. And the idea of saying that God wants to bless you can be lost in the fact that there is a holy and righteous God who must and will punish sin. And yet that holy and righteous God wants and desires to bless you and I. He's a God of mercy. In fact, Romans 5:8 puts it so bluntly and boldly and sweetly this way. Would you read this together? But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. That is the mercy. See? That is where we were. We were the ones who had fallen away. We were the ones who'd rebelled. Adam and Eve did it first, and we each made our own choice after that. And yet, in Jesus, His mercy and His love is revealed to us. I have been given great mercy by God. Is that the truth? I want you to tell your neighbor that. Just right now, just go ahead. Tell your neighbor that. I have been given great mercy by God. And some of you, when you said that, they said, that's true. All right? Some of you know how much mercy that other person's received. Some of you don't know that so much. But if you know you, you know you've been given great, great mercy by God. So, what's my response to the mercy of God? You see, if I believe that God is a God of mercy, if I believe God is a God of grace, what's my response to that God? You see, what do you believe about that God is going to shape how you respond to that God. Some people are still hiding. They're running from God because they're afraid of what they're going to be held accountable for, or afraid of what change might have to occur, what fun they might have to give up. Anybody here really glad to have laid aside some of that fun that you used to have in the old life? Man, I am so glad I got rid of that stuff. You know, you go, that was destruction coming. I mean, I was saved young, and I said there's a lot of stuff I was saved from because I could see where I was headed. And yet, He says, now to you who've been given the present of Jesus Christ, the mercy of God, He says, He says, I urge you, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. You see, a gift offers an invitation to the recipient to respond to the giver. Isn't that so? When somebody gives you a gift, there is this invitation into relationship. Now, like we said, depending on what the gift is, depends on how much relationship may be communicated. I mean, some of you gentlemen have had to learn a thing or two about gift giving, particularly times of year and what you give, you know. You give your wife a vacuum at Christmas. Some wives might be okay with that. It's an invitation to relationship. But there's a little tension can come with that. You know, a baking pan might be more acceptable to some. An exercise gym might be dangerous to some. It's true. Some of you are a little slow catching that. You see, but gifts do. Isn't that right? There is a response that comes when somebody gives you something that says, hey, we're in relationship here. I care something about you. I'm communicating this to you. And so when we give God a present, he says, present yourself. You have to understand, God already did that. So we have to look and say, what are you going to present back to him? Perhaps one of the most significant ways we do this in this culture is that I think that communicates this concept that there's an invitation of relationship is when a man pulls a box out of his pocket. This is a special box for my wife and I. It doesn't have the original in it. She has that on her hand because it's stuck. for which I'm very thankful. But you know, when a man pulls out the box and when he goes down on that knee and he opens that box, he's giving a gift, right? But there is something more implied in this gift, is it not? I mean, now the sad thing is about our culture, there are now legal disputes about whether or not a woman gets to keep the gift if she doesn't make the commitment that's supposed to come with the gift. Isn't that right? Because you see, if she accepts the gift, she is agreeing to enter into a relationship. Isn't that right? It's not just, hey, I got a ring. That ring comes with a message. If she says yes, thank you. If she says yes, it doesn't just mean she gets to wear a ring. It means she's entering into this whole different relationship. Friends, here's the deal. I find many, many people in our culture today who think they can say yes to God and live however they want when they accept the ring of Jesus Christ. But the ring of Christ comes for you to present yourself in a living and holy sacrifice. Just like when a woman receives a ring from her beloved, it says, I will keep myself for you. And he's saying, I am giving myself to you. We will be pure. There's a commitment made there. And so when we receive the gift of Christ, we are invited here to give ourselves again to the Savior. And so it's a response. Because the ring says what? It says, I want to have a lifetime relationship with you. Isn't that right? The gift of Jesus Christ says what? That he desires, God desires relationship with you. See, sometimes I find people argue with me about this. They say, oh, you know, God loves the world. True. It says that in the Bible. Okay? You probably even know the verse. He loves the people of the world. But the Bible says he loves you. It's a personal love. It's not just this vague general love. It is an individual, unique love to each of you. He's designed you different. Go ahead, look at that person next to you. He has designed you different. And he has made you unique for a purpose. Stay with me. I knew I did that to myself. All right. But he loves you. Question is, what's your response to the love of God? What's your response to the gift of Jesus Christ? John 1:12 tells us this. Read it with me. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. You see, if you receive him, if you believe him, he says, I've got an even greater gift. See, it's not just that we're given forgiveness. We're given life forever. We're given a family connection with God forever. See, some people just want their bill paid, and they're not going to live in the significance of the relationship. In fact, that's kind of the sadness that I see even in some marriages today. A girl will accept a ring so she can get some bills paid. See, she's not interested in a relationship. She's interested in something else being taken care of. Be careful, guys. Be careful, girls. This is a serious thing to enter into the marriage relationship. And friends, it's a serious thing to enter into a living relationship with the loving God of heaven. And so he says, I call you into this relationship to live how? To present your bodies. You are to give your bod to God. That's his plan. Give your bod to God. Now, some of you would say he wouldn't want it. That's not what it says. See, be careful. We, in our own finite wisdom, will sometimes come to conclusions totally contrary to the word based on how we feel. Oh, God wouldn't want me. God wouldn't be interested in me. I'm telling you, friends, there is a cross that says God loves you forever and paid it all for you. You are loved. You've been gifted. And when did he do that? While we were yet sinners. So there is a gifting that's been given, inviting you to give yourself to the gift. Give yourself to the giver. You see, God's great mercy towards me invites me to give myself to him. Mercy invites me to present myself. I remember the day when I popped this box open. I remember the day that she didn't know it was there. Fell asleep right on top of it, driving to where we were going. I will never forget that my wife said yes. What have you said to the Savior? You see, when I bring this story up, this kind of an illustration, boy, this tears people up. It takes you back somewhere, doesn't it? You all know. You remember when you said yes. If you've done that. The question is, have you said yes to the Savior? That's the point. And so today I'm asking you, you have been given a gift. What's your response to the giver of the gift? You see, I still find there are people who want a ticket to heaven. They want a get out of jail. Actually, it's hell free card. Isn't that right? I don't want to go there, so I would like to go there. What do I need to do to get in? And I find it even presented that sometimes by teachers. Friends, this is not about a ticket. This is about a person you're invited into relationship with. And if you're in right relationship with the Savior who died for you, He will never allow you to be separated from Him. And so that relationship provides the connection in. There is no ticket. There is a Savior to be trusted. It's interesting. When Jesus was praying in John 17, He said when He was praying to the Father, "This is eternal life." What? "That they may know You and Jesus Christ whom You have sent." Eternal life is knowing God. It's not that I said some word somewhere, sometime, because somebody said, if I said this. Friends, we don't get into heaven by rubbing a rabbit's foot or a preacher's hand. That's not how you get there. It's by trusting a person named Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross for you, who rose again from the dead, that you might know your sins are forgiven. And so He says, "I invite you to give yourself back to Me." He gave Himself on that cross fully to us. He was a baby born to die. And so He tells us, "I've paid the penalty. Now what do you do with that?" Now here's the thing. Wouldn't it be foolish to say, "Oh, my penalty is paid. I can live however I want." And yet that's what people do. But yet here He says, "I want you to present yourself to God a living and a holy sacrifice. Present your bodies." And the point here is that at some point in time, that literally in the tense of the Greek here, this is what it's meant, that at a specific point in time, you will make that presentation. That there will be a day that you will say yes to God. There will be a day when you say, "Yes, I accept what You have done for me, and I agree to live in relationship with You." And at that point in time is then begins to be a process of time that you live out the life of God. And so He says, present what? A living and holy sacrifice. So there is something that continues. It's not, "Oh, I did something here." I continue to live it out. I dedicate myself to God. And that, He says, is what? Acceptable. You see, the recipient's response to the giver determines the depth of relationship. If you've done any of those YouTube clips, it has now become the epic thing to record your elaborate engagement announcements. And there's some beauties out there. There's some really sweet things that people have done. There's also some epic fails out there, where some guys have made some pretty elaborate presentations only to have the girl say no or turn away and have it actually fully recorded. Oops. Poor perception of level of relationship. See, but here's the deal. God has presented eternal life as an opportunity to us to live in relationship with Him. And He says, but it's your response to the giver that's going to determine whether or not you have a relationship. It's not just that Jesus died. That's been done for 2,000 years. It's not just that Jesus rose again from the dead. That has been done for 2,000 years. It is what relationship does your heart have to the person who died and rose again? Are you trusting Him, not are you believing that historically happened? See, I'm not talking about a fact. I'm talking about a person. Oh yes, I believe it's fact. But it's a relationship into connection with Christ that I am inviting you, that he's talking about here, that when you do that, when you trust him, you then present yourself to him. When she said yes to me some 30, almost 35 years ago, we had no idea what we were getting into. Can some of you agree with that concept? You thought you knew, but you didn't know. You didn't know what it was going to take to live in relationship, because you thought you were so easy to get along with that surely that wonderful person that you enjoyed would be that easy to get along with, and surely they would find it very easy to get along with you. That's what you thought. Isn't that true? It's not true, but that's what you thought was true. You know, and some of you took a few more hours, some of you a few more days than others to discover that. Here's the deal. What are you doing with the life you've been given since you said yes to God? You see, when I give God myself, I give him what he deserves. Isn't that true? I give God what he deserves, his creation. I'm just acknowledging he is my creator, he is my savior. I'm giving it back to him. But that giving is worship. That's really what it is. The giving, all aspects of giving are worship. You know, we don't pass an offering plate because so many people have been stumbled through that process. And so we use a box at the back. But when you put a gift in there, if you're saying, I believe, I trust you, you're saying, I believe you're generous, I believe you're faithful, you're worshiping God. But it's saying that you can give a gift and not worship. True? You can come to church and not worship. We can put on the smile. Look like we're here, and we're not. Caught some of you right there. Okay. No. But friends, what does worship look like? Well, I find it interesting that I believe it was in the Hebrew that one of the terms related to that was what you guys just saw this morning. It was the adoration face to face in the moment before the kiss. That's what worship is. And so when I look to the Father and say, you have paid everything for me. Everything. When I had nothing to offer. There's this heart response to him. That's worship. And so when we gather together as a family, we say, we're going to worship. Well, that we're just inviting you to a joint worship service. But honestly, you and me are to live our lives as a worship service, right? That your very life is a worship service. Which is why he says, in everything, give thanks, right? And rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice because I am worshiping God as I go through my life, because that's me, what? Presenting my body. And some days, we don't present. You know, right? Some hours, we won't present. Something comes about and we go, oh, that's not what I wanted. That's not my wish. And you may not be doing it to God, or so you think. But the person you're doing it to, God gave to you. So what are you saying about his gift? Uh-huh. I know this isn't a message on marriage, but it's okay if it fits. Where? So you sit there and you hold the attitude that is not gratitude. And you don't worship. And it can be other things. It can be this. Right? The worry. That's not worship either. anxiety or the fear or the anger. There's a whole lot of different responses that are not worship. But he says here, he says, I want you to live your lives in such a way that it's a living and holy sacrifice. In the Old Testament, when there was a sacrifice made, the interesting thing was the sacrifice was dead. They saw to that. That was the point. You kill the sacrifice, then you place it on the altar. One of the reasons we have challenges with believers giving a living sacrifice is they keep crawling off the altar. We say yes to God, and then we go our own merry way. But the idea of a living sacrifice, it says, I will live each moment, each hour, each day, each relationship, each circumstance. I will live it saying yes to Him. I will live it saying thanks to Him. I will live it saying, you're great, you're glorious. And so I declare God's value by my energetic devotion to Him. That's a living sacrifice. Now, we've been tested on this. I always get tested on my sermons before I preach them. I don't particularly care for that practice, but it's a practice that God has for me. So it's good, because I want to keep maturing, right? And you guys certainly want me to keep maturing. Lord help us. But you know, we worked and prepared and labored all week. In fact, for several weeks now, to be ready for Bethlehem Live, this presentation we wanted to do to our community. Anybody happen to notice, if you weren't here, what the weather was like about 3:30 yesterday afternoon? You know, and as the wind was blowing through and various things that had been constructed were being deconstructed, there's a call to worship. And it was fun and challenging to say God knows exactly what He's doing. And about 2:00, there was a memorial service being held at the community hall across the street. And we had already talked to them about using their parking lot. They said, oh yeah, that's fine. They said it's going to be a small family affair. It filled their parking lot, totally filled our parking lot, and began to overflow. And we got to say, Lord, You're good. You're in charge. You're awesome. Do whatever you want to do. See, that's what yielded up means. See, that's presented means I don't get to choose what comes my way. I get what? I get to choose my response to what comes my way. And so he says it's a living sacrifice. Here's something that bothers me occasionally. I find comatose Christians. They have a profession that they have a heartbeat, that they are sustained in Christ, and yet there is no living for the Christ they say they're in. I challenge you, live the life of Christ by the life of Christ. Live it out. It is a daily activity that you give your heart back to God. How? With your hands. You know what I'm talking about? He gave you hands. It's what you're doing as you're serving, as you're living with your hands, that's allowing your heart to be presented back. A couple weeks ago, we talked about that. That what? That wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So you're giving, whether it's of your time, whether it's of your treasure, whether it's of your talents, you give it back to God. I was so blessed. I had a couple people who way stepped up yesterday for me, who were swapped in roles and assignments, and they said pretty much the Mary prayer. I am the bondservant of the Lord, be it done unto me according to His wish. And so they got swapped. They got put someplace else because we had unexpected changes, which are expected, but you just don't know which ones are coming, you know. But it's that willingness to say, whatever you need, I'll do. That heart, that's this living sacrifice he's talking about here. And then he says this, a living and a holy. When you hear holy, what do you think of? set apart. Sometimes people think white like our angel last night. That was glorious, wasn't that? That was so beautiful. You just think, set apart. Just set apart. What's the idea of the white? A bride adorns herself in white, saying what? I am pure. I am devoted. I remember being at a wedding, watching a bride who had been too long in pictures, too long in preparations, and beginning to feel faint. So they brought her a hamburger. Per her request, that's what she asked for. And I remember watching her try to eat a nice, big, juicy hamburger in a very, very white dress. You know? Is that how you're living life? You know? Trying to get everything you can get while you stay in the dress? Are you set apart to the Savior? You know? If you were in a wedding dress, you wouldn't have came to our live nativity last night. There is a little too much mud. See? But are we not? Who? Who's the church? The bride of Christ. He says, you're to be walking wholly after Him. Set apart totally to Him and what He wants to do. His priorities. And so I declare God's value, not only by my energetic devotion, but also by my pure devotion to His priorities. Because every lady knows, when she gets married, men have expectations, don't they? They've got these agendas. They've got, hey, there's priorities. And when you're marrying, there's going to be a blending. But we understand culturally that there's an idea that I'm going to submit myself. That's the biblical principle. I will submit myself to my husband. I will trust his authority in my life. And I'm going to devote myself to his priorities. Now, if he's a wise and a loving husband, her priorities become your devotion. And so there's this marvelous relationship that works together. But there's that submission to Christ that says, whatever you want accomplished in my life, I want to do. And I want to do only what you want with my life. So how set apart are you to God? Gary Chapman wrote a book called The Five Love Languages. How many of you read that book? Have you read that? It's a really good book. Very creative approach to picturing how you honor and love one another. In it, he talks about five languages that people receive love more likely through one or two ways than others. One of the things is words of affirmation is a love language. All right, deeds of service are a love language. For some people, it's just time with. That is how they feel loved. If you'll give them time, they feel loved. Others respond very much to touch, and they like affection. And others, it's gifts of value that are communicated. If you have never thought through the significant relationships that you're in and say, how do they respond to this? You might find that you're loving the person the way you like to be loved, not necessarily the way they like to be loved. That's what we usually find in marriage counseling, is that husbands love their wives the way they want their wives to love them. But figure out what fills her tank, what fills his tank. Well, here's the deal. If we're talking about loving God, what fills his tank? You ever thought about that? What is it that you can do through the love languages for the Savior that show I am in this relationship? Because he's continuing to show you that he's in it, isn't he? Isn't he continuing to be loving and faithful and merciful to you? So now love him back. Time with. That is big with God. He calls us to abide in me. So you've heard me talk about that. Your God time. That you spend time with God before you spend time with anybody else. And by the way, you'll be nicer to everybody else if you'd spend some time with God before you spend any time with somebody else. God time. But there's also words of affirmation. And it can be songs. It can be writing in a gratitude journal. It can be praising other people that He's put around you and thanking God for them. Or it can be deeds of service, like those who are serving next door in nursery or in children's church, or those who are running our sound system, or those who are giving in the worship, or those who are welcoming people. They're saying, I will give of myself for the Savior. When the gift is a person, relationship is the response. Does that make sense? That's where I'm driving at today, friends, is He has given us a person. And so worship is that surrender to Him that says, you are my Lord. I love you. Whatever you want, that's where I want to go. That's how I want to live. That's what I want to do. The question is, Jesus Lord? Oh, you know theologically He's Lord. True? We've all got that down. I don't have to preach that sermon, do I? Jesus is Lord. Amen?
Amen?
But when we say Jesus is Lord of me, that means that I will then praise Him, obey Him, follow Him in any and all circumstances. And it'll change your week. I guarantee you, it does mine. Every week, there's all of a sudden, it's like, and you, there's that will. You've got your will, He's got His will, and they're coming together. Or they're going apart. And so, I know you're the boss. Whatever you want to do, you're in charge of that. Giving myself actively to God glorifies God. And that's enough. But there's an amazing blessing that comes by giving yourself to God. Jesus said it was more blessed to give than to receive. Some of you have been having fun with that. I am looking forward to that with my grandchildren being here. All that giving, that you just get so excited about that. But giving myself actively to God gives my life purpose. Because now I'm living for the reason I was made. Does that make sense? And that gives hope. That gives perspective. Some of you are dealing with news that you didn't want. Some of you are into a situation and a time in life that you'd just as soon not be. But if you have a Savior, present yourself to Him this Christmas. Some of you are looking at Christmas and saying, it is going to be a sad Christmas. And we can't prevent some sadness, but we can choose His gladness. We can choose out of our weakness, out of our loss, to praise Him and to give Him glory. I was talking with one of the families. I have no idea how we got there last night. But somehow we were talking about loss and began to talk about the losses that I've been through. And yet it was a glory to talk about the goodness of God with me through some of the most severe pains that I've been through. Because He's still good. It doesn't mean you don't cry. It doesn't mean you're not sad. But I'm going to choose to rejoice in Him. And so He says what? I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living and a holy sacrifice. See, that's you giving yourself totally away. Which is your spiritual service of worship. That's what I'm calling you to do. Is you give God yourself this Christmas? Would you give God yourself this day? Don't even wait till Christmas. But give God yourself. That's the calling. Lord willing, we're going to step into that second verse next week. And just see, how then do you live like that? How do you walk this out? How do you demonstrate this? But hear me again when I say, when God gave us His Son, God gave us His heart. What's your response? The gift invites a response. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you for Jesus. And thank you that there's life in the midst of pain, that there's hope in the midst of sorrow, that there's peace in the midst of problems, and that there's strength in the midst of our weakness. You are all we need when we come to you in relationship. So, Father, I'm just asking this morning, if it has not yet somehow been made clear, that you would make it clear for your people today. That we belong to you and we follow after you with great joy in you. Amen. Let's stand and sing. If you